WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, honey. I'm home. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Did you know that beekeeping is something you can do right here in Chicago? In fact, the honey made in the city tastes different depending on where the bees live. No, seriously, we're talking about neighborhood by neighborhood flavors. So to learn more about urban beekeeping, we sat down with Jana Kinsman. Jana is the founder of Bica Bee, which has about 50 apiaries on the south side of Chicago. I started our conversation by simply asking Jana what she loves about honey.
The thing I love the most about honey is that it is the most pure representation of a region. It's like the essence of terroir. It's bees literally pulling flavors from the flowers in an area and creating a product from it. It's as close as you can get to nature itself.
That's wonderful. You've got beehives in public places like schools, in community gardens, et cetera. I mean, talk about the value of placing apiaries right there in the public eye.
Yeah, so I manage about 100 beehives in about 14 different locations. I have some at schools, community gardens, urban farms. And when I started this project 12, 13 years ago, the goal was to get bees in public spaces so that people could have interactions with insects that were positive and right there in their neighborhood, because most people, you know, are very afraid of bees. So how do we show people how do we show people how harmless they are by just having them in the neighborhood? And
I don't want to gloss over what you said. You manage over 100 beehives.
Yeah.
What does that entail?
Well, it's a very, five straight months of very hard labor, taking care of these insects, checking on them every week.
How many bees?
Oh, I did the math.
Hive.
I think I take care of 3 million bees.
Oh my goodness. You buried the lead.
Yeah, it's a lot.
How do you address people's fears of bees? Because you bring up a very good point. I mean, admittedly, I run.
Yeah.
I know you're not supposed to, but my first instinct is to get out of there.
You can run. It's okay to run.
Well, then they follow me. So, Jana, help me out.
Well, chances are the thing that's bothering you the most is a yellow jacket wasp. Like, honeybees are very neutral towards humans, but yellow jackets, especially at this time of year, become very aggressive. Mm-hmm. They'll be the ones bugging you at picnics. They're the ones that are kind of like just all up in your face at any given time, whereas honeybees are mostly just interested in things that are sweet. Yellow jackets really like, you know, any type of food, like hamburgers, ice cream.
Yeah.
Honeybees are they're just kind of minding their own business. And the way to get through to people about that is to just show up as a regular person and talk about these sort of things, like, you know, on the radio, on TV. I'm at the farmer's market every market or every Saturday, kind of interacting with people, letting them know, like, this is what I do. Getting stung isn't the end of the world if that is what happens to you.
Are people fascinated by your job?
I think so. It's very novel to them.
I feel like that's a great conversation starter.
It can be, yeah.
For sure. So break it down. How do you go from hives to honey?
Yeah, so the hives are something that, you know, we take care of through the winter. So the bees live inside these boxes called beehives. You know, each stack of boxes has its own colony in it. They come through in spring, and they're off to the races as soon as the first dandelions start blooming in our public parks.
Oh.
They're out there foraging for nectar, so they're gathering the sugar solution that plants excrete to kind of attract insects to themselves to make pollination happen. So the bees are off doing that. They do that for, you know, several months from like April, May, June. I'm kind of tracking all of the plants that are blooming in Chicago through that time. And then sometime around late July, we harvest the honey. So the honey is in the hives, ready to go. Usually late July, we're taking the frames out, mm-hmm. shaking the bees off, bringing them to the workshop, extracting the honey from it.
And it's literally ready to go.
Yeah, it's a perfect product that the bees make. Yeah.
Incredible. I mentioned earlier that your apiaries, they're mostly on the south side,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Untended land is actually good for honey production.
Yeah.
Why?
Because if you can think of, like, you know, we use that term food desert in like human contexts, but I think it's even more appropriate for bee contexts. Imagine just like a perfect green lawn. There is no food value there for any insect. But if you're, you know, if there's a giant, you know, vacant lot that no one is mowing, that's full of clover and thistles and, you know, chicory, then that's a smorgasbord of food for the bees. So these untended vacant lots that we often see as an eyesore are actually kind of beneficial to a lot of the insects in the area.
So how do the flowers and the plants nearby and the proximity to the hives, how does that all affect the flavor of the honey?
The flowers that are blooming all have different tastes to it. So different trees, different plants, they all produce nectar if they're insect pollinated. And that nectar translates into a different flavored honey depending on what species of plant it's from.
So the choice of where to have a beehive, that's really important.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get a bad tasting honey necessarily. What's most important is that you're putting beehives in an area where there is like open land and there are trees and plants growing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, putting beehives on the 40th floor of a building downtown is not the best idea because there's simply not enough in the environment. Even if you do have a green roof, it's still not the quantity that a honeybee colony needs to
yes.
make a surplus of food.
So I think it's time for some of that sweet taste of summer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
let's do some sampling. What did you bring for us today?
So I brought three types of honey. The first two are from West Englewood, from the apiary that I have at my house.
Okay.
And then the last one is from a school called the Academy for Global Citizenship in Archer Heights. And I brought the first two, which are from my house. It's the same location, but it's a different time of year. And that creates a different flavor of honey also, because different flowers are blooming at different times. So even the seasonality affects the flavor of honey that we get.
So let's start with the very first one. So this is out of West Englewood.
Yeah, so I like to get the honey in my mouth, mm-hmm. and before breathing in, I try to get the honey all over my tongue, and then I do a big breathe in, and you're going to get all of these electric flavors.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll do the same. Minty.
So, minty, yeah. So that's the quintessential Chicago honey flavor.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is quite minty, especially the aftertaste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That one is stellar. That minty flavor comes from these trees called linden trees that are planted by the millions in Chicago. They're an incredible street tree. They have a very handsome shape, mm-hmm. and they produce these cream-colored flowers every June around the solstice, and they just it provides the most wonderful light-flavored minty electric.
Oh, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
So I can't stop.
I know.
I can't stop.
It's really good stuff. I know.
All right. Second one. This is also from your house.
The second one is from the same area. Let's get it. Try it. And that one has this warmer, waxier flavor to it.
This feels like more of the traditional honey taste that I'm used to.
Yes. So that is the clover. We have several different species of clover that grow in Chicago. And I think the base one that produces this sort of warm, waxy flavor is that little tiny Dutch clover that grows in all of our lawns. That is a great nectar resource that I think is one of the hardest working nectar resources in Chicago. The bees love to visit that. It blooms for months and months. But after the linden trees bloom, the bees are continuing to go to this clover source. So most of the honey that we get after the lindens have bloomed is this kind of warmer, waxier flavor.
Okay. And now for the third.
So I brought this one from Archer Heights because the school is adjacent to a lot of vacant land.
Mm-hmm.
So it does have this kind of like clover, warm, waxy base, but it also has some other weird flavors on top of it.
Oh, yeah. What is that?
I'm still trying to figure it out.
It's got that same traditional, like the last one, mm-hmm. but something else like sort of punched me in the tongue.
Yeah. So I'm thinking it's like a thistle, but also it could be, there's a lot of crown vetch, which is a big, it's considered an invasive species. So I do a lot of grappling with like invasive species, kind of, you know, people talking down about it, but it contributes a lot to the flavor of Chicago
honeys.
There's
a slight bitterness too.
Yeah, that's the thistle for sure.
Okay, that's what I'm tasting. So there are a number of urban beekeepers here in this city. Mm-hmm. How would you describe that ecosystem?
It's an incredible ecosystem that I hopped into about, like I said, like 13 years ago. I started working with the Chicago Honey Co-op. They've been beekeeping in the city for, I think, over 2 decades at this point. They were incredibly welcoming. I started volunteering with them. And when I told them that I wanted to start my own business that would essentially be competing with them, they were like, sure. And we all help each other out. We all have a communication network. We talk to each other about, you know, people who need help or if a hive has swarmed. Like, there's all sorts of things that we do to help each other out. And it's kind of an interesting business to get into because you have to kind of be crazy enough to do this. So it's not like we're overwhelmed with competition because not everybody's breaking into it.
So what made you take the leap 13 years ago?
You know, I was working in kind of a corporate setting and I was creating design. I was a graphic designer and I was feeling this disconnect from the things, the amount of time I was spending making something. It wasn't a direct product of myself. And I really wanted to have a direct line to the thing I was making. And I wanted to be so much more involved with my hands. And yeah, I took a beekeeping course and with the Chicago Honey Co-op. And that just kind of changed my trajectory. And from there, I started a Kickstarter campaign to get 10 hives.
Yes.
And
now you're at 100.
Yeah, now I'm at 100. But from the beginning, a big part of it was being in community gardens. I reached out to a bunch of them and asked them if they would host hives. And they said yes. And yeah, that's how it got started.
Well, that is Janet Kinsman, who is founder of Bikeabee. Thank you so much. What a treat.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic, and it was edited by Dan Tucker and mixed by Ari Mejia. If you're interested in hearing more conversations like this, you can check out our entire catalog of interviews at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk again this afternoon.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely